very close.
It's very close. What do you say? Should we get into some questions?
Let's do it.
All right, guys.
Sir.
As y'all know, first part of the show, we take questions that came in through email or through one of our social channels. If you have a question for Doc, we take live questions the whole night. So put them in the comments. We'll get to every single one tonight. Let's start with this. And hold on 1 second. My computer just messed up on me. There we go. I just noticed this week that my Life Extension Curcumin Elite does not have black pepper in it. I thought it needed to be with black pepper to absorb well. What do you think about this? I know for a fact that you take Life Extension Curcumin Elite. So what's your thoughts?
I do, and I've looked into that because that's what you read about, black pepper, piperine being necessary for the absorption of the curcumin, which is turmeric, the pill form of turmeric. Yeah, you know, I checked that out too. And Life Extension has other things that they put in that they prefer to it. I don't know if it's because of black pepper maybe too spicy for some people or burn their stomach, but they use, if I can remember, I know they have ginger in there. They have tumerones. They have, what else? I think they have glucomannans. So, which they claim, and I think it works, that that enhances the absorption of curcumin. It kind of helps the liver process turmeric better. So, you know, I've had good luck with the Life Extension curcumin, even though it doesn't technically have black pepper in it. It has other things that enhance the absorption. So, I like it. I can definitely tell when I'm not on it, you know, because I've got, I've got some arthritis as I've aged and degenerative back disease and all. So I think it's just good. I really do.
All
but
right.
Great. You're digging into it. That's true. You need something because turmeric is not very well absorbed in your stomach. It needs really something to carry it beyond that, so it can be passed on to the bloodstream and actually be active.
All right. Thank you for that question. I honestly did not know it needed something else with it in order to be absorbed.
Itself, it won't be absorbed very well.
Super interesting. All right. Let's get to the next one here. This is an interesting one. Water and water filtering is a very big deal. And I think you got a recent new water filter. What is the healthiest water to drink? And can you recommend a good water filter? And if you do drink out of bottled water, what do you like? What's your thoughts?
When you drink bottled water, of course, you don't know how long it's been sitting around in that plastic. So, you know, you need to get one that's probably bottled in glass. I did change out my water filter from the Brita to something called Clearly Filtered. I did that a couple weeks ago because I started noticing that in my Brita filter, it was turning green.
Yep.
And I was having to clean it out a lot, change filters too often. It's definitely cheaper. So the Clearly Filtered one I got was about four or five times more expensive, but definitely it filters it better. I can even taste it. And if you believe what they say, the average marketed water filter just filters out 5 contaminants. This thing filters out almost 400. And they even come with things you can do under your sink and all, which is probably a good idea too. But I like the Clearly Filtered, and I like, if you get water, you know, preferably to get it in a glass container if you can. You know, if not, it's just going to be tough to, you don't know how long the plastic's been sitting out there. That's a tough gig there.
You know, we did an episode with Robin who just came in. Hello, Robin. I'm going to put you up here. So timely. Cause literally, I know she's looking at this, with the bottled water, and we were filming an episode of Explain This on parabens and phthalates. And I happened to have like a big bottle of water there, plastic bottle. And she just looked at me and she's like, how dare you? What are you thinking? So I think she would say there is no real good bottled water. Because is it the phthalates that's in the plastic, or is it
the
parabens?
BIPAs and parabens, BIPA. Yeah, it's a tough gig. It really is.
And
I prefer to get my own water filtered.
Yep.
And I'm not sure if the real alkaline waters are that advantageous or not. I haven't made my mind up on that yet.
It's just a really, really good topic. And thank you, Robin. She just wants me to be healthy. You know, she was looking out for me on that day. I was a little embarrassed. One, because if you watch the episode, I struggled pronouncing phthalates. But now, like, I feel like, you know, after we've been talking about the show, I don't even try to pronounce the pH at all. I don't even attempt it. But this is a great question. Thank you for putting this in. You know, we're probably going to dig deeper on, you know, water filters, you know, getting rid of parabens and phthalates in your life, because as Robin said in the show, like, they're everywhere and it can be a little overwhelming. So, you know, taking things one at a time is super, probably the best way to go about it. All right, let's get to the next one here. You know, I read this question come in over email and had no idea what this was. I'm hoping you do. The question is, have you used the Yucca app? And if you're listening on audio, Y-U-K-A app yet. Do you agree with their food rating system? I think it is great and useful and fun, but was curious if we could totally rely on it. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I have used it. It's downloaded on my phone. And it's an app that allows you to scan the barcode on any food that has a barcode on it, and it gives its rating. I find it to be really strict. I mean, like, if I'm deciding between like protein bars and things, I'll scan it, and most of them really don't have a good rating. It's unbelievable. I think even you scan the water, it'll tell you not to drink it. So it's really strict. I mean, you know, I haven't found many things that it approved. It did direct me to the Clif bars.
Clif bars
are good? For some reason. Well, they're better than the ones I was choosing. Huh. I think I had some cave dwellers or keto bars or something like that. And it came up pretty low. Mm. And it, you know, it'll give you an alternative. That's one good thing about it. But it's really strict and all. And, you know, it's not going to have an app for grass-fed beef or, you know, that type of thing. Although the eggs, you know, they probably have a barcode that you can scan. But I thought it's a pretty neat idea. When I first got it, that was 6 months ago. Kelly uses it more than I do.
Yeah.
But I was all pumped up about it until I started scanning things and realizing, man, you know,
yeah,
not much out there that it likes. That's for sure.
Yeah. There are a few things. We did an Explain This with Robin on sugar stats, and, you know, and some of these things you just, it's almost like, man, ignorance is bliss a little bit. But Bianca here saying it ranked RX bars, which I like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I like RX.
Those are the ones that just have the egg, the
yep.
nut, and something else. Yeah, those are good.
Yep.
Those are good. So that's a great app, I guess, but I find myself not using it as much as I used to.
You're afraid you're going to be let down?
Yeah. I'm all pumped up about something, you know, and then it says terrible.
Well, I'm kind of pumped to hear you say that about Clif bars, because I had one as a snack just before this. So I think I might like the Yucca app. I think it's working well for me.
It's free. You should try it.
It's
really interesting.
I love this from Ashley. Yucca gave my Hidden Valley Ranch a zero.
Zero. That's as low as it gets. I know.
What do you think it would give Mom's Karo syrup bottle? I'm kidding,
Back
Mom.
When she used to
I'm
use
kidding.
Karo syrup. Probably there's nothing lower than a zero that would get it if it could.
I'm kidding, Mom. I love you. I know you're behind the camera tonight. That was a long time ago. You haven't touched Cairo syrup in decades. All right, let's get to the next question here. Thank you for the question on the Yucca app. All right, this is a cool one. We talk a lot about probiotics here. What is the best probiotic to take, and where can you buy it? This came on Instagram. Thank you to all the Instagram followers. What's your thoughts on this?
Anybody follows my stuff, of course, it's Digest Shield. Because really with probiotics, you need, which you do need to be very discriminatory about. I like it because it has everything in it. Prebiotics, food for the probiotics, has 11 different types of the strains that you need. I mean, in other words, you don't need to have 100 billion CFUs. It needs to be the right combination. And you look for common things, and this hits all the major ones. It has digestive enzymes to help you break down, especially fats and proteins, hopefully on a low carb diet. It has lactase that blocks down dairy, and it has chitosan that blocks down glutens and lectins. So that's the one I take. I love it. I put all my IBS patients on it. You know, as Robin will tell you, if your gut microbiota is having a lot of other problems, like SIBO and a few other things, you may need to take a sporbiotic for a while, or, you know, some of the more heavier CFUs to get yourself straightened out. But just for a generalized probiotic, why not take Digest Shield? It's just an awesome product that I really endorse. I take it every day. So does everybody in our office and family. But if you want to look at it, you can buy it off the internet. You can buy it at all our offices and a lot of pharmacies.
Their website, if you're watching this live, is shieldnutra.com, and you can buy it right there. And yeah, shieldnutra.com is the easiest way to get it. I don't think many people know that you need prebiotics for the probiotics. And I also, you know, a lot of people you have to take digestive enzymes as well. It's all in one capsule. So we talk about it a ton here. So, and we're going to continue to do so and explain more about it, but I'm sure there's people in here who are on it and can, attest. It's pretty amazing. I take it before every single meal now. But anyways, great, great question. There it is. Shieldnutra.com. Thank you. Thank you. And we got Steve in the building. He's going to say, let me just put this up from Steve. 6 billion CFUs of probiotics in every capsule. The CFU things is above my pay grade. But I know a lot of people get confused, when testing out different probiotics with, you know, how many CFUs does it have? Is, the most, does that mean it's the best?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a lot, but it has to be the right combination.
Yeah.
You know, one time I was thinking, well, this is before I knew about, Digest Shield. I went out and bought one that had 60 or maybe 100 billion. It made me sick. It really did not go over well with me. So
I remember you telling me that. Thank you for that, Steve. See here. Thank you, team, for putting this up, shieldnutra.com. All right, we're going to get to, let's see if I've missed anybody. That is all the questions that came in throughout the week. If I miss somebody, I'm kind of looking at my inbox as well throughout the show. So if you don't want to put your question in the comment, you can do that as well if I missed you. But if you have a question for Doc Live, go ahead and put in the comments. We're going to get to every single one. I already see some great questions here from Richard. Thank you, Richard. Let's see. Kaylee just put one in. Thank you. All right, let's see where we're going to start here. Let's start with Tanya here. Tanya on YouTube, help. I've been intermittent fastings. I feel better when I do, except I get terrible leg and foot cramps. The cramps keep me up all night. This seems to be kind of a comment, but I'll let you, one, have you seen this before? And two, is there something that we can do about it?
I have seen it. You know, sometimes it just takes your body a while to get adjusted. You know, you're probably doing a really low carb diet too. You know, it may be as simple as taking some magnesium at night that will ward off the cramps. I don't know if your electrolytes are off a little bit. But the idea of intermittent fasting in itself should not give you cramps. There may be something else going on. You definitely need to get a panel and look at your magnesium levels as well as, your electrolytes, like your potassium, your sodium, and things like that. A lot of people don't eat enough salt. That's why they have cramps. But there could be other reasons too. But there's a few people who just don't get along with intermittent fasting. I don't know what your window is for eating, but some people get along better on 12 on, 12 off. Other people, 16 off, 8 on. So experiment with a little bit. Definitely take some magnesium and check your electrolytes and see what's going on. And play around with the type of foods you're eating. Make sure you're eating enough salt, that you're not overdoing the water in relation to salt and getting hyponatremia. But that should be something solvable. It really should.
All right, Tanya. I hope that helps. Let's get to the next question here. This is going to be from Richard, and I think I'm going to has a couple comments on aspirin, which is always an interesting topic to talk about here on the show. Dr. Rogers, this is an interesting article released today by the NIH. Does this, along with the possibility of spontaneous bleeding, change your thinking about low dose aspirin? Let me see if he can find the study here. Study released today by NIH. Does this low dose aspirin increase risk? So I'm guessing the study says the low dose aspirin increases risk of anemia in older adults. And I know you talk a lot about low dose aspirin, and I'm sure you heard.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that article. Okay. I didn't see it today, but there's one that just recently came out just like it. But I mean, you always have to weigh the risk versus the benefits. I mean, certain people shouldn't take an aspirin, especially older people that are at risk for bleeding, people that have a lot of gastric problems, ulcers, or esophagitis. So you have to really weigh the risk versus the benefits. We know that it does thin your blood a little bit so that it protects your heart. It also cuts down on your risk of colon cancer, which they don't talk about, by about 40%, and probably pancreatic cancer as well. So depends on the age. I do it. I like to take it with food though, and with supper, since it works best for during the nighttime. But certainly if I have any stomach issues or anything like that. But yeah, they came out with a pretty amazing statistic on, how many people have microscopic bleeding from, their stomach. But, clinically, I just don't see that. I just don't see it. If I was 90 years old, plus I was unstable, I wouldn't want to take it because you'd fall down and hit your head. You may, bleed into your head, cause a subdural hematoma. But I just don't see it happening in my practice. And I recommend that most people take them. I certainly do. So, I'll look at what came out today. But in the past, it really hasn't. But it is controversial. I mean,
yeah,
it really is.
And one thing you talk a lot about with really anything is this, risk versus the benefit. And, does the benefits outweigh the risk, or do the risks outweigh the benefits? And everybody's a tad bit different. And I guess, the thing with aspirin's the same. It is. Thank you so much, Richard, for that. It's a really good topic, and, it's timely. It's something that I know we talk quite a bit about. Anything you want to add on that?
It's just individual. You look at your risk factors, and if you're afraid of it, you can take something like natokinase. I told a guy to take that today. I don't know if he saw that study. He just came up to me and asked me, what's a good alternative to an 81 milligram aspirin? I told him natokinase.
And I think, you know, so Richard's saying, does this, along with the possibility of spontaneous bleeding, change your thinking about low-dose aspirin in older patients?
In older patients, I'm always cautious about it, especially if they have a lot of bruising on them and, you know, they obviously bleed too much, but certainly I avoid it in them. But for most baby boomers like me, you know, that are healthy without a problem, I think the benefits outweigh the risk.
All right, so. Richard, I hope that answers your question. Thank you for putting that in there. And I think I saw something around natokinase, and I kind of wanted to touch on that. This is from Kathy on Facebook. You mentioned natokinase, so I'm just going to go ahead and get to it. Do you think about
I use both of them for that. Yeah, I use both natokinase and serapeptase for long COVID because it's great for inflammation. That's one reason I use, you know, low-dose aspirin, too. It's great for inflammation. And, you know, you want your blood to be a little thin. For most people do. Certainly with COVID, which was a blood-clotting disorder, as are a lot of these viruses, it's good to have something on board that will protect against arterial inflammation. I had a guy today, he'd been on hydrochlorothiazide for many years. He hated it because it made him go to the bathroom all the time. I never use it in men for that reason, for one reason. But the other thing is it's inflammatory. It not only lowers your testosterone, makes you pee all day, it inflames your arteries. So there's a lot of considerations you have to take with these medications. So a lot of stuff's about inflammation. So I just threw that in there on the ACTZ since I did see a patient today that I took off of it. That has nothing to do with natokinase, but I like those two for long COVID. I treated a case of long COVID today that was an interesting case, very interesting case. A lot of people still haven't gotten their taste or smell back, and chronic brain fog. And amazingly, he had seen one of the podcasts and was about 90% better just by taking methylene blue.
Yeah, so interesting.
Also added LDN. But yeah, he was just amazed at it. That's why he drove all the way from Roanoke to see us here. But just don't let your dog get into it. Yeah, that's right.
There we go. I love it. And one thing, I see WC1A, I see your comment. I'm going to make sure we get that. Team, if we could somehow get this methylene blue link. We're getting a ton of questions about it. It's on Amazon. I'm going to try to find it and maybe send it to the
we'll get that
people
post
in the comments. But I will get this to you, WC. All right, let's get on here to the next question. Where am I at? All right. Let's get to Coal Miner's Daughter. Is reverse osmosis water filtration system bad for you since it also filters out needed minerals? What's your thoughts on this?
That's a good point. I like reverse osmosis water filtration. I don't think it's a problem for most people. They get their minerals from other, like their foods. But if you read stuff about water filtration, most people recommend reverse osmosis. If you find yourself, on your panels, you have low minerals, then certainly you may want to change that. Or you may want to add trace minerals to it. You know, I have trace minerals I add to my water.
What do you add to your, is that the, I got you those LMNT. Is that trace minerals?
That's more of an electrolyte formulation, I think. Okay. Trace minerals, you have more boron, copper, zinc, manganese, those type of things.
Super interesting. Great question there, Coal Miner Star. Thank you for putting that in there. Let's get to John here. This is timely. We put out a Common Sense MD episode on taurine last week. Taurine, best and how much do I take? Thanks for what you do. Thank you for being here, John. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, taurine is kind of the new buzzword for longevity. You know, you've seen a lot of, you've seen that big study that came in about how it made mice and monkeys live longer and healthier. The dose you can take, you could get up to 3 grams of it. The studies have been up to 6 grams, and I think they did use the higher doses up there. But, you know, certainly you want to aim for close to 1,000 milligrams, I think. And certainly you could go higher than that and tolerate it fine. You know, taurine is probably the only good thing you'll find in something like Red Bull. But although the caffeine in it may not be bad either for some people, but, yeah, taurines, read that. I talk about doses, I think, in my podcast on that from 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I think in the article you recommended around 1,000, to start. Is there a brand you like, or any, is there one you're suggesting or one you like?
Life Extension has one. That's the one I've been taking. I'm really trying to incorporate taurine into my energy formula, you know, and combine it with CoQ10 and PQQ for energy all in one. So that's what my goal is. And I'm pretty sure it's in the works.
All right, John, I hope that helps. I'm going to put this up from WC. Hopefully this might help. Let's see. He's doing 1,000 milligram cast 300 quantity. Okay, super cool. If you like the brand you got, WC, put that in so the crew here can see. Let's get to the next question. Where am I at? Let's get to Kaylee. Is there supplements or vitamins that can help reduce gallstones and sludge? What's your thoughts on this?
There's a few out there that claim that. It's to like cholestyramine type supplements, binders, like chlorella, and zeolite, I think may help. But yeah, they may help you. I've just never seen them work that great, to be honest with you. Some people swear by them though. But I just wouldn't count on them dissolving gallstones. But great question. I get that a lot. But those are the ones I would recommend. I'm not real confident that it's going to work. And certainly if you're symptomatic with gallstones, you want to get it out before you get your gallbladder infected.
All right, Kaylee, I hope that helps. Anything you wanted to add? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No.
All right, thank you, Kaylee, for putting that in there. I see Evangelon's in the building. I cannot wait to read this update. Thank you, man. So good to see you in here on the live show. Let's get to Deborah here on Facebook. What do you think of turkey tail mushroom to help with digestion?
Yeah, I get a lot of good reports on it. I love mushroom. I don't like the taste of mushrooms, but I like mushroom supplements. If you can get one that has the turkey tail in it with, you know, all the other good ones too, lion's mane, shiitake, chaga. Go to I'm not sure if Lucas talks about that much at all when he had his talk on mushrooms. Maybe tomorrow when you talk to him, you can ask him about that in particular. He'll know.
We did do a dive into diet episode on all things mushrooms, and I do think turkey tail was in there. If you search for mushrooms and performance medicine, you'll get probably 2 videos, and they're short. They're with our nutrition coach, Lucas Schmidt. He does dive into diet with us, so definitely check that out. He does talk about turkey tail. Thank you, Deborah, for putting that in there. I'm going to go back to YouTube. Let's see, Becky's. There we go. My daughter has had thrush 4 times in 2 months. She is 20 years old. Maybe I'm missing something, Becky. With no antibiotics or steroids. Okay. I think I'm doing that right, Doc. Well, can you, you know what we're talking about here?
Yeah. Yeast. Oh. You know? But yeah, it's interesting. Has anything else changed? You know, you might want to ask, like, of course, yeast loves sugar. So you have to remember that. So make sure that she's not consuming sugar. I'd like to look into the gut, you know, microbiota. I mean, I'm sure Robin would love to do a GI map on you to see if you have intestinal yeast as well, because it may be a sign of that. And again, it may not be thrush. It could be lichen planus or something else. So, you know, you might, if it's persistent and causing a lot of problems, like digestive problems or pain in the mouth, burning tongue, those type of things, fissuring of the tongue. You may want to make sure that it is thrush, and they can, you know, go to the dentist should be able to do this for you. They can do either a biopsy or, you know, just a scraping to see, but check blood sugars, see how the gut function's doing. You know, if she's been, she's probably been treated for it. It may be a matter of getting the right probiotic. No changes in a keto diet, so not getting sugar. I wonder about birth control pills. That can increase your risk of thrush. Are any other changes? Could be related to hormones as well, besides birth control. So it makes you wonder, something's causing it. You know what I would do? Here's what you need to do is you need to see a dentist that does the salivary bacterial testing.
Yep.
You know, we did a podcast on that a few weeks ago with Dr. Creech. Yeah, that'd probably be a really interesting test to get. Dr. Susan Creech does those in her office, and it's through a spit test. So that might be a really interesting thing. Something's going on in her mouth, if not her digestive system. So, you know, I would go to a dentist that does that type of thing and checks for the different bacteria.
And I think it's
might be interesting.
It seems there is pain and mouth burning.
There's geographic tongue. There's lichen planus. I've had that myself. I think COVID gave a lot of people this type of thing. So, you know, see a dentist. I call them biologic dentists. See one that really dives into this, because your mouth is really the gateway to your digestive. It's the first part of your digestive system, and it's very involved in your overall health. So something's going on. So you need to find that out. You know, and not just keep treating it on and off. Mm. I don't like toothpastes that have SLS in it, sodium lauryl sulfate. So you might look around and see, you know, change toothpastes and see if that helps. But I would see somebody like Dr. Creech to get to the bottom of it. There's a cause.
And I believe it's called the HR5. It's around HR5. We if you look at on our website, and it's within the last couple weeks, if you search for oral health, it'll show up. I think it is HR5, though. I hope that helps, Becky. We're going to move on to, let's see here. This is an interesting question from JV. Why isn't ibuprofen pink? I have no idea. What's your thoughts?
I don't either.
It's probably food coloring.
I didn't know it was pink, but you know, mine doesn't look pink.
Mine's kind of brown. brownish.
Mine's white, or you know, it's in, or if it's in jail, I haven't really cut into it. That's interesting. I don't know. That's a good one. I don't know that it is, but I'm going to go cut into a Advil capsule at night and find out if it's pink. I don't know.
Sorry about that, JV. I have no idea either. But we're going to look into it. We'll look into it for you, JV.
Probably a filler or something. I know why methylene blue is blue, because it's blue.
Seems that B12 are pink too. So maybe it's a, maybe more things are pink than we realize.
B12 is definitely pink. Yeah. Reddish color. You get a B12 shot, and which I do routinely, you're going to pee a little bit reddish. Don't let that surprise you.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, just like if you take methylene blue, you're going to pee blue.
It'd be nice to, I think it's important to know that. That freaked me out, I think.
Yeah.
True. All right, let's get to Stan here on Facebook. I hope I didn't miss somebody. You talk about Navage cleaning Navage cleaning nasal passages makes you feel better. Are you able to do this if you have a deviated septum? Is this something that I need to see a nose doctor about?
Yeah, you know, I had a deviated septum years ago. I had it fixed because I broke my nose 3 times. In my younger life, I was a prize fighter, and I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding about that. But I did playing basketball, break my nose, and one time softball. I broke it 3 times and had to get it, they went up and straightened it out. But yeah, so like if you can't breathe out of one nostril, it's going to be tough. But the thing about the Navage is it works pretty good for that because of the angle, and also you can rotate it 180 degrees. So it will go more in the other nose and nasal passage and pull it out the other one. So I like it for, you know, you use a different angle. They're pretty good with that. They even talk about that in their little package insert when I bought one. So try the Navage. I really like it. I recommended it to a couple patients today.
Super interesting, Navage. My pronunciation is not on point. You know, we got a 10 last week. I think I'm down to like an 8.7 so far. I've got to get it back together. Thank you, Stan, for putting that in there. Let's get to Fabian over in Texas. Been on my Mediterranean diet for 3 weeks now. I bike 3 to 4 miles a day and bench press every other day. Lost 10 pounds. My morning back pain has gone away. This is a comment. Wow. That's amazing.
Well, that's awesome. That is awesome. People don't realize how much what they eat affects their joints and their, you know, their pain. It really does. A lot of times just getting off processed sugar, people's arthritis gets better. Just amazing. But that's awesome. I love to hear that. I like, you know, you need to, you know, lift weights. You need to bike. You need to have some of that zone 2 training. And that's awesome. That's good to hear.
Thank you for that. Let's see here. Great comment there, Fabian. I really appreciate that. I just put in there for WC the Amazon link to the methylene blue that we've been recommending to people. Motaz is in the building. What's up, Motaz? Great to see you again tonight. No. Thank you for hanging out with us. I want to put this up from my man Evangelon. It's been a minute since we've seen it live, but he's got some really interesting little self-study here. Taking 12 milligrams ivermectin every day, going on 3 years with no negative side effects. I love it. And it looks that...
Congratulations. Good.
Looks that I think I finally beat the long COVID autoimmune. That's amazing. Congrats.
Congratulations. That's incredible. That's hard to do. It's hard to beat it, but I think we're going to be dealing with long COVID for the rest of my career for sure. And, you know, I see it every day. And I love it. I use a lot of LDN, use a lot of methylene blue, use a lot of the, you know, that medicine you're taking that I don't like to pronounce.
Evangelon, thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you for being with us tonight, man. I'm so glad you're feeling better. That's incredible. 3 years. I hope you're feeling great, man. Let's get this. Let's get to the next question here. If I can find it. Hopefully you guys got the link down there from Amazon. WC. Kathy is saying, this is another long COVID. How do you dose the methylene blue for long COVID? How are you doing this in office?
I just have you put 8 to 10 drops in a glass of water every day and drink it. And that's a low dose of, you know, you can double that if you're not feeling anything for it from it. But it works pretty quick. It's amazing how it really increases your, you know, your mental alertness.
Yeah.
Decreases brain fog, which everybody complains about with long COVID, that and shortness of breath on exertion or chronic fatigue. So try, you know, 8 to 10 drops every day. I think you'll like it.
All right, Kathy. Hope that helps. Let's get to, great question, Chuck. Thank you for this. This is like a really, this is actually a question that I was thinking totally about wrong for forever. Speaking of intermittent fasting, does adding stevia and half and half to coffee break the fast? And I'll let you take that
most,
away.
In most people, it will. Yeah. If you do it strict, yeah. It'll break your strict intermittent fasting. You know, read the book about that Jan Stevens wrote about fasting. Great book about fasting. Also read Dr. Jung's thing, you know, things about it. But yeah, I'm not saying that occasionally you can't do this, but and it just depends. You can definitely, you know, just check ketones and see what it does to it. So, you know, I'm not as strict on fasting as I used to be. But technically, it could break a fast. Yes, it could.
All right, Chuck, great to see you, man. Thank you for being in here with us tonight. I hope that helps. Let's get, Fabian cut off sugar, too. That's a huge deal. That's got to play a little bit into some of these results you're getting, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Let's get to Gator Hater for Life. What's your thoughts on Tessa Moreland? Price per month, if you don't mind to share. What's your thoughts on this?
Tessa Moreland's, I don't know what the price per month. We'll get back on that from some of the places we order it. You know, my favorite has definitely been, I've never taken the Tessa Moreland, but I like the IPA Moreland. I take CJC 1295 with IPA Moreland. I think it's a little bit better than Samorlin. It's a little bit more costly. Tessa Moreland, I just don't use that much of it. Nobody really orders much of it. It's probably a little more expensive, but I'm telling you, to me, the gold standard is the IPA Moreland. CJC 1295 with IPA Moreland is what I really enjoyed. Mm. But we'll find the price for it because I have no idea.
And I think we didn't explain this episode on IPA Moreland with Robin. And so if you search Performance Medicine or Robin Riddle IPA Moreland.
Robin may know how much Tessa Moreland cost. I don't. It probably varies a lot depending on which company you get it from.
All right, Gator Hater, I hope that helps. Let's get to my brother Steve. Do you recommend getting a DNA test such as 23andMe, which suggests an ideal diet to match up with one's genetics? What's your thoughts on this?
You know, I got 23andMe done on myself. It's an interesting test. I don't think it's going to help you a lot with diet, you know, and genetics. But it will tell you things like your MTHFR genotype, APOE, and things like that, and a lot of other ones. The bad thing about it is you start getting letters from people that, you know, maybe distant relatives that want to contact you and things. So I guess you could get that cut out. But plus, if you're a convicted felon on the run, you probably don't want to do that. They may catch you. I don't think you have to worry about that, Steve. But the only thing you've been accused of is corny jokes. but you should be arrested for some of them. Some of them are pretty bad. Although not as bad as Chuck's. Now, Chuck's are worse.
You know, Steve, we couldn't go one night without him making a joke like that. Come on, man. I think Steve's got the best jokes. Thank you, Steve, for that question, man. All right, let's keep going here. Where am I at? If I miss you, put it at the bottom. I'll kind of remind me. What is the best treatment for alpha gall, red meat allergy, outside of totally avoiding red meat? Main symptom is nausea and vomiting after eating red meat. Could this potentially progress to anaphylactic shock?
It could. Yeah, you know, there's probably more alpha gal out there than we realize. Mm. There is a test for it that you can get through some labs. But again, the best thing is just avoiding red meat. Mm. It's crazy, but our best thing to avoid is going to be avoiding red meat entirely. I'm not even sure the allergist can help you much with this besides elimination of it. But I certainly would have an EpiPen around if I had this. You don't see as much of the anaphylaxis with this as you would peanut or shellfish allergies. But, one way to save a life, probably the most common way to save somebody's life is if you have an EpiPen handy. Mm. And these days, maybe Narcan as well. But anyway, great question. I need to do something on alpha-gal syndrome sometime, podcast on it.
Thank you for that, Cherry. Great question there. Let me see where I'm at. We're going to keep...
I think it comes from a tick bite.
Really?
It's infectious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man. All right. Where am I at? Let's see, get to Linda here. Do you think it's a good idea to take Ozempic to lose about 10 pounds or Mounjaro? I know you have thoughts on this. We're very specific about the 10 pounds here. What's your thoughts? I know you get this question all the time.
Well, if you listen to the media, you're going to get torn apart by trying to take this to lose 10 pounds because there's such a shortage of it. I think it is very effective. Both of them are very effective. You know, Ozempic probably causes a little more nausea than Mounjaro. Mounjaro has GIP in it, gastrointestinal peptide, that seems to work a little bit better for weight loss. The problem is, you're not going to get Mounjaro prescribed for 10-pound weight loss. You're going to have to be a diabetic. Same thing with Ozempic now. You could use Wegovy if you qualify, which means a BMI of 30. BMIs are going out. I mean, there's another article I read this week on how terrible a measurement that is. You really need to get a DEXA scan for fat percentage to determine obesity. I mean, obesity is vastly underreported. I mean, I think it's true. The true obesity rate in this country, if you do it by DEXA scan, is like 72%. Of Americans are obese. This is including kids. So you're gonna have a hard time getting it for just to get 10 pounds off if you're not a diabetic. But I'm not against it. I mean, you can definitely order the semaglutide, you know, that belongs, it's the salt, which we will order if we can't get, you know, one of those two, you know, brand name through insurance because it's expensive. So we use semaglutide a lot for this. I think it's okay. You know, if you're really obese, you're going to have to stay on the stuff the rest of your life, most likely. But if you have 10 pounds to lose, you may be able to change your habits, eat less carbs, and keep it off. But it's really interesting on some of the stuff. The other thing with Ozempic, you know, the big thing is now you're going to get Ozempic face, Ozempic butt, Ozempic finger from losing muscle instead of fat. Really, it doesn't really select out abnormal fat. If you want to lose 10 pounds of abnormal fat that you can't go off any other way, I'd recommend HCG. I still love HCG. We've done thousands of patients on it. I like it because it's short. You know, it's a really a 26-day diet where you give yourself a daily injection of HCG. It's pretty rigorous. I mean, it's pretty stringent, but we've had thousands of people that do it. And because it takes off the stored banked fat that's otherwise impossible to spot reduce. So I hope that helps. I'd hope that helps with the answer. So in my mind, it's going to be hard to get for that unless you use the semaglutide. And again, there is a compounded form of Mounjaro as well. It's a good question. If you can't do it any other way and you don't want to do HCG, I'm not against it. Certainly with this controversy about using it and taking up the supply and all that, I don't worry about that so much, and as far as losing muscle, take extra protein. I recommend people get on Perfect Aminos and lift weights if you don't want to lose muscle. So that may be a moot point.
It's a really good question, Linda. It's because you hear so many different things about, it being a diabetes medicine, but man, it is helping people lose weight and in such a healthy way. So great answer there, Doc. Thank you for that.
There's a great article in the Wall Street Journal today that I'll probably do a podcast on it, but there's so many other things it does.
Yeah.
Good. I mean,
you sent that to me. Yeah.
It really helps people stop smoking. It helps them stop drinking. It takes away cravings. It works for bulimia. It may even help prevent Alzheimer's. May help ADD. Definitely protects your heart, liver, and kidneys. Can reverse non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So, I mean, it's definitely the drug of the century. No doubt about that. And that's why it's hard to get. That's why it's so expensive.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the best drug I've seen put out in my career in 38 years. So I'm not against it. But consider those things we just talked about.
All right. Thank you for that, Linda. Let's get to Motaz here. Thank you, Motaz, for hanging out. What is the recommended dose of niacin to improve the lipid profile along with controlling diet?
You know, niacin I like because it does lower your cholesterol. And unlike a statin, it won't eat your muscles up, hurt your liver, and maybe cause diabetes. Again, some people need statins, but you got to be very discriminatory. But I like niacin because it doesn't cause those side effects. It can cause flushing. Yeah. So a lot of people go out and they take 500 milligrams of it over the counter and they'll go to the ER. They think they'll have an anaphylaxis, but it's just a flushing. But so the way I recommend it is start out at 100 milligrams. We have to order those special. We have them in our office. And take it at night. Starting at 100 milligrams, preferably with your aspirin. That cuts down on the flushing. Advance it by 100 milligrams every 4 nights until you get up to a gram, 1,000 milligrams. Mm. Then recheck your cholesterol. Niacin also increases your HDL, which may be more important than lowering your LDL. Statins will lower your HDL. They lower your LDL too, but they lower your HDL, which is the thing you want more HDL, but you can even go up to 2000 milligrams of it, but you got to start out slow because you're going to flush. You're not going to want to take it if you don't go slow on it, and you will get tolerant to it after a while.
All right, Motaz, I hope that helps. That's super interesting. I didn't realize that about niacin. Thank you for putting that in there, Motaz, and starting that conversation. Let's see here. My next question is, I want to put this up and from Fred, and Fred is from Texas. So we got some Texas people in the house, and I'm just going to say Texas forever.
They say Texas is hot right now.
I love Texas. I love Texas.
It's hot. The weather's very hot right now down there,
but it's hot. It's like, it's a place to be.
It is hot. Yeah.
We got Fred, we got Fabian, we got Roel, we got a Texas crew.
Texas is like, Texas and Tennessee are very similar.
Yeah. Yeah. Except, I mean, Tennessee's probably the real UT if we're going to get, you know.
Yeah, the real orange is the University of Tennessee.
Let's get to Fred's question here. What do you recommend for toenail fungus? Asking for a buddy. He said he has tried several over-the-counter meds to no avail. Appreciate you guys. We appreciate you back, Fred. What's your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, you could try, if you want, a topical Jublia, which is a prescription topical. You know, if nothing works, you're going to have to get on a prescription medicine for it. Like Lamisil orally. The problem with that, you need to check your liver function test. It can affect your liver. So you need to do your liver function test before and at 1 month, but it may take even 2 or 3 months to clear it up, and it could come back, you know? So, I don't really like to use Nystatin and Lamisil and Diflucan if I can avoid it. So if the other stuff, crazy stuff like vinegar and, you know, Vaseline and things that they claim help, it doesn't work, then or I think Vicks VapoRub, maybe, not bad, Vicks VapoRub, then you may be stuck to using a prescription topical or at last resort oral.
Fred, I hope that helps. They'll put this up from Fabian. 119. That's hot.
Wow, heat index. Wow. I knew it was hot down there right now.
That is hot. Man, y'all need that. Y'all need to hydrate for sure.
We have a visitor from there this week up here. And he's from Austin. He's glad to be in Tennessee right now. It's really cool here right now. It's cool.
All right, let's keep going here, right? Because I want to make sure we get to everybody. If I've missed somebody, let me know. I'm going to get to this question that just came in on email real quick. Question is, I have gallbladder issues, biliary dyskinesia, and I am planning to have my gallbladder removed in the near future. However, I'm trying to get through family vacation next week first. Do you have any recommendations for me to make next week a little easier and pain-free? I know your brother, my uncle, did a lot of gallbladder stuff, and probably your dad too.
Yeah. Back when my dad took a gallbladder out, you'd have a scar that long and get in the hospital for a week. When Bob did him through a scope, you'd be get it taken out in the morning. You'd be home eating. It's your own house eating lunch that day.
Wow.
So it's not that big a deal to get them out. Just get it out before you get it acutely infected. It's a lot worse then. But what I would advise to you is to avoid fatty, greasy, spicy meals. Mm. And I would also suggest you take something like Digest Shield to help you, you know, block down, use the digestive enzymes in that to block down the fats. Mm. To break them down, emulsify the fats easier. So that's what I would do. Get some Digest Shield, take it with you. Avoid really heavy, avoid a lot of alcohol as well. And then see how you do.
I hope that helps. Let's keep going here. I want to put this up. Seems Gator Hater watched the videos. Thank you so much, man, for watching that. And then I got to put this up because I don't know if my brother or sister are watching tonight. Huge shout out to Andy Rogers and Kelly Rogers. They're in Johnson City, but we every once in a while get them on the show. And Andy actually does the Q&A show with us around once a month. We're going to get him on regularly. But thank you for watching. That means so much. And you know, it being Father's Day last weekend, we all got to hang out. So really appreciate you putting that up there. All right, let's see if we can get to anyone else. I don't think I'm missing a question. I see your comment there, Fabian. Pickle juice should help with cramps, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Used to do that with tennis. Linda.
He's low on the football team, yeah.
Linda is saying BMI is 26. Okay, I'm with you. So this is the one that needs to or wants to lose the 10 pounds with Mounjaro. I'm going to put this up from WC because this is a fun question. I think he plays 70s rock and roll.
Led Zeppelin. I like rock. That's my favorite. I've been learning a lot of old Beatles songs that I really like. The old Beatles tunes. I'm not a good guitarist, really. I just love guitars. For those of us who can't play that well, we like to collect guitars. As you can see, I collect a lot of guitars. My prize is not my. That's a 1980 Les Paul custom, the electric. But really, the best guitar I have is my 1964 Gibson J50 acoustic guitar that I really like. It's really interesting. I wish I had my. This is an interesting guitar right here. Believe it or not, I love this guitar too. Does anybody know what this is?
I have no idea what it is.
But yeah, this is an old guitar. This is also a 1964 guitar that they sold at Sears. It's called a Silvertone.
That's interesting. Sold at Sears?
Pickup. Sears sold it back then. That's the guitar I wanted when I was a little kid, but couldn't afford it. So I bought that one off the internet a couple years ago. But it has a tube amp in the case. You know, they were kind of cheap guitars, but a lot of the rockers started out with it. But yeah, I really like all kinds of music. And I just wish I could play better, but
you're getting better.
I do like the old songs. I liked a lot of Led Zeppelin tunes. Like I'm trying to learn the Rain song. I've got, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You Down pretty good. I play whenever Ben's at home or even my kids, I drive them nuts playing that song because it's just constant. You just have to get good on a song, at least for me, I have to just play it all the time. Of course, I play Stairway to Heaven. Everybody plays that. Just don't play it in a guitar store. They'll kick you out. That's a no-no. You do not go in a guitar store and play that song to test a guitar out. They'll kick you out because it drives them crazy. But so I like a lot of the old stuff. You know, it's just fun. I heard a really good guitarist this past week in person in Bristol, Dave Mason,
yep,
who was a great guitarist. I'm going back to the Paramount this week and I'm hearing Christopher Cross, who is, besides being a balladeer, you know, Sailing, some of those songs, great songs. He's a great guitarist. I mean, he is a fantastic guitarist, just like Dave Mason was a great guitarist and he was old. So, you know, that's the one thing that I hope to keep my mind sharp is by practicing guitar and learning new songs and, you know, rhythms and things, because it's not easy. It really is not.
No, you're honestly, you've gotten so much better. I enjoy listening to you now, and that I can't say that that's always been the case. But I was with you this weekend. let's get this real quick for Fred. These guys they're out in the heat all day. We need to get this get them set up. Since high temps in South Texas came up, what is your take on Liquid IV and Salud to stay hydrated? Roel and I work for USPS, and yes, it was around 120 to 125 heat index yesterday. Thank you guys so much for what you do. What's your thoughts on that?
I like Liquid IV, and I like Bio. What's that stuff I buy? I have it all over here.
Yeah, BioLite.
BioLite. Yeah, that's a good one. Tastes good, too. I don't know much about Salud.
Liquid IV is great, though.
I like Liquid IV. I really do.
And LMNT, you know, it doesn't have any of like the additive. It is a little pricey. It's expensive. But it doesn't have any sugar, which some of the other ones do.
Make sure, unless you have hypertension or, you know, you can't tolerate salt, that you consume some salt as well.
Yeah. I hope that helps, Fred. You guys.
It'll cool off. I just hope that the grid doesn't go down. Yeah. In Texas, like it did with the cold blast a year or two ago.
We'll be thinking about you guys. Doc, I think that's going to do it. Look, I mean, we've got D. Lynn saying we got a 10, and I honestly...
Yeah, I was just thinking, I think we got a 9, maybe a 9 tonight.
I think a 9. I think 9's, you know, accurate, but I love D. Lynn for giving us the 10. I think
Thank
that's
you.
I think that's amazing. WC likes you even more because you're a guitar aficionado. And you know what? He truly is a guitar. He loves guitars. So I love it. Cherry saying a 10.
They're beauty.
My brother Steve saying a 10. Thank you guys. You guys are amazing. I see Gator Hair's giving us a 10, but we're a little shaky with the camera. I'm with you. We can work on that.
Yeah, we can.
I love it. You guys are the best. Doc, you're the best. Happy late Father's Day. Had a great weekend with you.
Thank you. Yeah, we had a fantastic weekend. It was beautiful.
Just a couple days ago. To all the fathers in here tonight, happy late Father's Day. I hope you guys got to celebrate. Look at this. This is an honest answer here, and I love this from Chuck. I've met Chuck before, and he's amazing. He says it was a 9 until the guitar talk.
Man, that makes me feel good. I'm going to go play right now.
There you go.
I'm going to learn the Rain song tonight.
There you go.
That's a beautiful song. You know, Led Zeppelin had a lot of great acoustic. People think of Led Zeppelin as just electric, Jimmy Page, but they had some great acoustics in Led Zeppelin. If you go back and look at it, Going to California, I mean, just you could listen to that stuff all night. I call it acoustic lead, but I think I hear the dogs coming out.
It looks like
when the dogs get on, they'll definitely turn it into a 10.
We are closing out the show, folks.
All right. Here's Ike.
Ike is closing us out. We love you. Dr. Ike, thank you for being with us tonight. Little Izzy, who's not so little anymore. guys, as y'all know, the regulars, this ends the show. That's Izzy on the left, Ike on the right. We certainly do love y'all. Thank you for hanging out with us every Tuesday. If you're new to us, thank y'all so much. Thank you for coming to the live show. We do this every single Tuesday at 7, answering your health and wellness questions. It's my favorite hour of the week, and that's largely because I get to hang out with you, get to hang out with my dad, and then get to see the dogs to end it. We love you. Doc, thanks so much, man. No,
don't go away.
Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please share the podcast with your friends. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We will see you guys next time.